Hey, how's it going, everybody? I'm Adam.
And I'm Gary.
And we're two dudes.
Going hunting.
No, we're not. Gary, you stupid son of... What is up, everybody? How are you doing tonight? Gary, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Adam. How are you?
We're doing excellent, excellent, excellent.
That's good. And that's good.
This is our live podcast, and we got to meet up at lunch today to go picking. That's like first time in forever, it feels like.
Yeah, it does feel like it. I think we should do it more often.
COVID's keeping us indoors or keeping us separated. You know, we're not in the office.
It's very true, yeah.
Well,
so, I mean, just we'll get it in. We'll get it in.
We're going to have to.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's the second time we've been able to get together and go picking on our lunch break in like since April.
Yeah, we keep telling everybody on the show. It's like, yeah, you know, we go picking on our lunch break. Yeah, 6 months ago.
So thanks, COVID. What is it you said earlier today? Thanks to the guy who ate a bat.
Yeah, I want to send that guy a Christmas card, you know? Yeah. So invite him to Thanksgiving.
Let's do it.
So
there is a new store in town. I've told you about this, haven't I?
Yeah. You mentioned it to me. And I think you had an Instagram post about it. So if you're not checking out our Instagram, definitely go out to Two Dudes Picking on Instagram and go check it out. But why don't you go ahead and tell us?
Well, it is called Black Friday Deals. And it's in Columbus, Georgia. It's off of Macon Road. And it's an Amazon return store. I did some homework. I did some research. It's an Amazon return store. And what they do is they basically buy a bunch of pallets, empty them out into tables. Friday is their first day open of the week, and it's $7. Then Saturday, it's $5. Then Sunday, it's $4. Monday, $3. Tuesday, $1. Wednesday, 50 cents. Thursday, they're closed to restock. Okay.
Yep.
So it's Thursday. Every evening at closing time, the owner of the store will do a Facebook video. And it's live. And today I watched it and he was talking about opening tomorrow and that they'll give out tickets to people who are in line as early as 5 a.m. Mind you, they don't open until 9 a.m.
Is this actual Black Friday?
No.
Sorry, what in the hell?
It's every Friday, apparently. Oh my God. Like, okay, so this store has only been open since October 30th. Mm-hmm. So this Friday will be its third Friday, maybe fourth. I'm not good at the calendar. But so I guess they have run into a bunch of problems the first day and the second week. And then finally, they're trying to just work through those problems. So they're handing out tickets to anybody who's in line at 5 a.m.
What time is the store open?
9 a.m.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Now, once you get a ticket, you're allowed to leave.
Oh, thank God for that. I was going to say, Jesus.
You have to be back before they call your number. Because if you're not there when they call your number, you don't get to go in.
Imagine if you're number one. You got to be. I mean, ooh.
Well, you probably actually. That just means that you have to be there before 9 a.m. because they're going to open the doors and let you in at 9 a.m.
Yeah, and start shouting numbers. Yeah, yeah.
People in the store at a time, just 50. So the store isn't massive. It's I don't know square footage. I tried to count the tables during the live, the Facebook live, and there's about 24-25 tables.
Okay.
That's not a lot, in my opinion, for a store that's trying to do something like this. But it's just like, hey, we got somebody. We got Tom's Comic Books and Reviews. He's back. Thanks, buddy, for showing up. He's asking, what store are we talking about? Black Friday Deals. It's the
The name of the store. Black Friday Deals.
The name
Deals.
Of the store is Black Friday Deals.
Yep.
And it's in the Cross Country Plaza off Macon Road, Tom. In the corner by Foot Locker and Subway.
Where Tuesday morning used to be, right?
Yes. Where Tuesday morning used to be. And so they're chatting and Cross Country Plaza, Daddy-O. It's an Amazon pallet returns store. So on Friday, tomorrow morning, they're going to if you are in line at 5 a.m., you get a ticket. They open the doors at 9 a.m. And if and for waiting in line for 4 hours, you got to wait in line. Now, people were saying on the Facebook Live when they did this last week, it was the first week they did the tickets was last week, and there were people in line as early as 11 p.m. the night before. And that was just a few people, but the crowd started showing up at 3 a.m.
So they don't start handing the tickets out until 5 a.m.
That's right.
So presumably, you know, if you showed up at 11, you'd be staying on for 6 hours.
That's
before
right.
Before you got the ticket, and then another 4 hours before they opened the store.
But theoretically, you could get your ticket and then go away, get 2 or 3 hours worth of sleep, and then come back.
For the last 4 hours, anyway.
Yes, for the last 4 hours. What's up, Julian? Thanks for showing up, Bearded Thrift Machine. Appreciate you showing up, man.
What's up, man? How you doing?
So Tom says, I'll still be sleeping. You know what? I really thought about it until I watched this video.
And bingo.
And then I heard all of these 5 a.m., 3 a.m. things, and I'm like, eh. I might go on my, like, I'll drop my daughter off at school. I'll swing by there before I go to work, see how long the line is at 8 a.m., 9 a.m., 10 a.m., and then see what's left. So, hear about any good stuff? I don't know. They were doing a live feed on a live video on Facebook showing a bunch of stuff in the tables. They did have a 32-inch Insignia TV with Fire TV built in on one of the tables, and it's $7. Everything in the store is $7 on Fridays. But those TVs, man, this is Amazon returns.
Right. I was just about to say that.
These are Amazon returns.
There's a reason it got sent back.
There's a reason why it got sent back.
I mean, if it's not clothing, like clothing is one thing, because clothing can get sent back because it doesn't fit. You know, it doesn't fit. You literally take it back to FedEx or UPS or whoever the shipping label goes through that day, and they throw it in a pile, and Amazon credits it, whatever it takes, you know, whatever the process is after that. But yeah, so for clothing, it's one thing. But for other things, yeah, they're going to be return items. And so it kind of makes you scratch your head as to, you know, why they returned it if they bought it in the first place. So
you want, of course, unopened products would be the best things to look for.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There have been, like, if you scroll through their Facebook page, they talk about things people have found in their store. And one of the first posts, for, I guess, from like day one that they opened, a lady found a Samsung Galaxy S8. Still in the box, still in the wrapper, not even open. And so that to me means there's potential. I think there's always potential, but us as the resellers, the treasure hunters, if you will, we got to take our time to do the digging.
Yeah. I was going to say, we have a couple of friends that I'm sure will, you know, go out there and we can engage with them and see how, you know, it was, how they did. It's kind of like how we were wondering what the Goodwill outlet was going to be like when it first opened. Now, granted, we didn't have to wait in line, you know, for hours on end, you know, at the butt crack of dawn. But the thing is that, you know, we weren't overly impressed when we went there the first time, but as it went later on, as it got, you know, as they sort of worked out some of the kinks, some of the bugs, we actually, and as the crowd died down, we started finding things a lot more often there that were of really good value. So, you know, maybe it's another thing that sort of just has to mature itself as well. And, you know, on 50 Cent Day, it may be picked clean just about, you know.
Okay. I went on 50 Cent Day.
No, did you? Okay.
It was pretty picked clean.
Picked clean. Yeah. It wasn't a lot of chicken left on those bones, huh? Mm-mm.
So I went on Monday, and that's the first day I really even knew what it was. And it was $3 day. I ended up spending $27, one thing I bought for myself to keep for the kitchen. And then the rest of the items I bought for resale. And the majority of the items I bought were sealed, unopened, like supplement powders, like creatine powders and beetroot powders and stuff like that, which actually, I looked them up. They're going for $25 to $35 a bag.
Yeah.
And so when I went back on Wednesday, 50 Cent Day, I found 3 or 4 more bags. So, there wasn't a bunch after on the $3 day and the $1 day, but the point is there's still money to be made if you're willing to dig.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, it's like anything. I think that there's money out there in a lot of stuff. I mean, you can go to Ross or TJ Maxx or some of these other stores and do a little bit more direct retail arbitrage and, As long as you're willing to spend time in there and dig and find the deals and look them up, yeah, there's money to be made. So, but you know, to your point, Adam, you know, maybe something worth checking out going forward. You know, is a weekend does a lot better for me. You know,
yeah,
just the idea that
Friday, you know, it just seems like. I understand why. I mean, they call it Black Friday, so Friday is going to be their day of, you know, big whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. I guess there's a lot of people who just would rather go shopping for $7 deals than go to work.
Yeah, well, there's that. yeah. Well, the name is brilliant, though. The name is brilliant. I mean, for a business, you know.
Tom, do they have any sneakers in there? He asks. They may. I mean,
I have no idea. Never been there. Never seen the videos. So it'd be a total crapshoot. Honestly, Tom, you can go out there and tell us because you may find out a lot faster than we do on this one.
Yeah. So I did ask. So I asked the guy running the Facebook Live, will you be open on the actual Black Friday? Because I just thought maybe the calendar and the holiday may throw him off. He said, no, we'll be open. So that day. Maybe I'll go check it out. I'll be off of work already. I don't know. Maybe I'll go check it out. Maybe not. Anyway, so guys, in the chat, if y'all know of a Amazon return store like that near you, tell us about your experience with it. Have you been able to find some really good deals? What if you went on a day that wasn't like the first day they restocked? Were you still able to find any deals?
Mm-hmm.
Tonight... And I'm going to let Gary set it up for us. But tonight we're having a debate between the two of us. And Gary, go ahead and set that up. What I'm going to do is I'm going to share them the link in the chat.
All right. So for a while now, you know, Adam and I, in some of our car conversations that we've had and sort of off-topic conversations that we've had, we say, is it better to take pictures using your smartphone or some kind of cellular or other cellular device? Or is it better to use a dedicated digital camera setup or DSLR or any kind of point shoot, whatever it is, right? So is it better to use one versus the other? What are the advantages? What are the disadvantages? So at this point, Adam and I are actually going to debate this topic. Adam is going to take the side of using the smartphone because I think he's actually a lot more familiar with that. In using that means to take his pictures. And I'm going to take the side of using a dedicated digital camera setup because that's the side that I tend to favor a little bit more. We both have experience with each one, but we want to sort of hash out what we think and, you know, kind of pose the debate question back and forth as to which is a better platform. Now, in the comments, if you have, you know, questions or comments or you're agreeing or disagreeing with the points, let us know. There's also a poll that is scrolling right down here that if you click on, you can tell us what your preference is, and then we can show the results of that poll. And
I'll admit real quick, this is the first time we've used this poll. Looks like you're gonna have to copy and paste it into a link if you can. I've tested it in the chat and I can't seem to click on it. Sorry about that, guys.
Oh, well.
If I can fix that, I will.
Scrolling across right there.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, that's tonight's debate, our debate topic, that we're going to go after. So, you know, let's roll.
All right. Debate topic is I'm taking on smartphones. Gary's taking on digital cameras or DSLRs. Shall we open up with our first, I don't know, just opening segment for about 2 minutes?
Sure.
You want me to take it first then?
Yeah, fire away.
All right.
I'll let you have honors.
From the side of a smartphone, using it in order to take pictures for your eBay listings, I know I've heard you say it before, and I say it all the time myself, that the best camera for you to use is the one that you have in your pocket. And typically, everybody has some sort of phone or cell phone or smartphone in their pocket. In fact, I've looked it up, and 52% of the world's population has a smartphone specifically. Now, that doesn't mean you just have to use a smartphone because you can just take your pictures and upload them. But 52% of the world's population, that's a roughly 2.9 billion smartphones out there. And everybody, pretty much everybody's got one in their pocket. Mm-hmm. So the best phone, the best camera to use is the one that you have on you, and that's the one that's in your pocket. Go.
I disagree with everything. No, I'm just kidding. we'll do this like the presidential thing. I agree with a couple of the points that Adam's made there. I do agree that, you know, having access to the camera you have the best access to, is the camera that you should use. It's also the camera that you have the most familiarity with. You know, for a lot of people, I think that they're used to taking photographs of people, of, you know, their pets, their food with a smartphone, right? The thing is that when it comes down to using a smartphone, you know, most people aren't using it or don't have as much ability to be able to fine tune some of the details, to get closer in shots of things like, you know, defects in clothing, to zoom in on particular, spots that may need to be drawn attention to, the size labels, getting a bigger shot, a bigger like outward shot. Sometimes you have to be up pretty high, you know, to get a picture of a pair of pants, for example. I think that the dedicated, setup, for a digital SLR camera or something similar is the better setup, because you also don't have to move it. So you can keep all of your equipment in one spot. It can already be set up with a small photo studio, whether you use a sheet, whether you use some tri-boards, some poster boards, or whatever. You can have it mounted on a tripod, and it can be a dedicated setup to where, you know, you're not having to, you know, fumble with your phone all the time, every time you want to take pictures.
So there you have it. There's our opening statements. And the first question we have prepared for each of us to respond to is, let me find it. Sorry. What are some advantages of your camera when it comes to taking the pictures for your listings? I'll go first. And then on the second question, you can go first. How about that?
Sounds good.
So to me, the biggest advantage is you can upload those pictures to your draft listing instantly without moving pictures or from a memory card or from a camera and connecting it to your computer. Mm-hmm. To me, that's the biggest advantage, is almost instantaneous uploads to your drafts.
Okay. And similar to that, sort of counterpoint to that, I think it's a similar sort of counterpoint, but if you're okay with spending a few extra seconds getting the picture, I think that you can get, again, better angles, sharper shots. Typically, digital SLR cameras tend to be higher resolution, higher quality. And in addition to that, one of the big advantages, I think, is that you, again, don't have to really move the setup around all the time. You come home from picking your stuff, you throw it down on the table, you snap a couple of pictures with your already mounted camera that may already be hooked up to a computer, because you've already got the cable run. And then, and some will actually do it wirelessly now, which is pretty cool. But I think that's one of the big advantages to the dedicated SLR system.
And my, is my, feed coming through okay? My internet seems to be messing up a little bit.
Yeah. Looks fine on here.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Just had to confirm. Unfortunately, it's like every morning and every evening, my internet wants to crap out on me these days. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that, guys. Okay. Biggest disadvantage. What's the biggest challenge of your camera? Gary, you're first.
So I guess, you know, sort of to your point, the biggest challenge would be, well, actually, I can think of one other challenge. One of the things that you always have to make sure of when it comes to your digital SLR camera is that the battery is charged. I actually went to do some listings the other day, and I was all pumped up. I had the board out. I was ready to shoot. Went to go turn the camera on, dead. Went to the backup battery, dead. So now I'm spending the next hour charging batteries, you know, so all that momentum is gone. And, you know,
not listing anything.
Yep. If you're doing this as a hobby, you know, momentum, I think, is everything when it comes to this sort of thing. When you get in the mood to do it, you go out and you do it, you know, and something like that can actually kill your mood, distract you away from the task at hand, and, you know, start, you get your death pile starts to grow because of setbacks like that.
That's true. The biggest challenge with using a smartphone, in my opinion, is pretty much it, there's no tripod. You don't normally have a tripod with a cell phone, which means that you're taking a lot of pictures trying to hold it and manipulate the on-screen operation one-handed while you're trying to hold the wrinkle out or hold the tag down or something to that nature. So there is a challenge with the one-handed operation screen of a smartphone. I think that I'll admit that the DSLRs have a better grip and a dedicated button that allows you to hold it easier and take the picture when you're having to do something one-handed like that. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll counter my point already that the focusing is a two-handed thing to begin with. You have to stop whatever you're doing and focus on a DSLR and then hold it and take a picture. While if you get that one-handedness of the smartphone really good, you can zoom in, zoom out, and take pictures and change the lighting all with the thumb. Mm-hmm. I hold my cell phone camera one-handed like this. Mm-hmm. And it's odd. A lot of people do it like so.
Yeah.
But I prefer, what is this, landscape? I prefer landscape mm-hmm. photos mm-hmm. to work with. So you get that thumb control going and you get mm-hmm. it under control, you're set. You're good to go.
I was going to say, if we're like, I'm sort of going to counterpoint my thing too. I guess this could go back to one of the big advantages of the SLR, the digital SLR. When you transfer them to your computer, now I'm on the interstate because I can list so much faster from the computer with my hands in front of me, you know, going at it. Now, of course, you may take your pictures with your phone and then transfer them to your computer and then go to town doing the listings. But I think for the most part, and sort of how we're framing this conversation, you know, most of it anyway, is that the idea that you're taking the picture and you're doing the listing at the same time. One of the things, too, is that if I ever have to go back and look at a photo to say, okay, what size was that again, or what did that have wrong with it, then I've got it where I can do that. If I ever get interrupted, like I'm taking pictures, if I ever get interrupted, I can go back and say, okay, what was the size of that shirt? That's what it was while I'm doing my listing. The other advantage, I think, too, is that I can take all of my photos at once, put them onto my computer, and then I'm done as far as the hard part about taking the pictures. If you're doing the listing with the phone, you know, you have to take the pictures. Typically, you're going one at a time. Now, granted, you're still getting your stuff listed, but if you ever get a break in the momentum, so if, you know, the dog starts wanting to go outside or you have to go pick up the kids or something like that, then you've sort of dead stopped at that point and you don't have all these pictures that whenever you do get a free moment, just pick up the laptop and start listing. So that's another part to that.
I'm with you. I have a response to that, but I'd like to show a gentleman here, couple of pickers. I think this is I'm sorry, I don't know your names. Go ahead and remind me of your names, but I know it's a couple, obviously, a couple of pickers. I think maybe in Florida. I was a camera guy for years till about 4 months ago. Now I'm a phone guy all the way, no turning back. Use a handheld tripod with a Bluetooth remote to snap the picture. Now, that's a hybrid of the two, in my opinion. Like it. I like mm-hmm. the thought of it. I really do. Putting the two efforts together. Now, when I used to take pictures with a camera, I too had a remote. Mm-hmm. However, I used to do so much zooming in and out that the remote only came in handy only when I was using the tripod. Mm-hmm. I mounted my camera overhead and had a flat table for the articles of clothing. But I don't take a whole lot of pictures of clothing anymore, to be honest with you. I've moved on to other things that aren't laying flat on the table.
Yeah.
Appreciate you. Oh, here we go. Rob and Lisa, thank you for reminding me of that. Thanks so much also for joining us tonight for our chat and chiming in. I want to take a half a second here, and I'm going to try to do this again. We do have a poll going on for you guys to vote on what you use, smartphone versus a camera, DSLR camera, digital camera. You may have to copy that and paste that link in, but if you could just go vote. And in a few minutes, when we actually get a couple of people who have actually voted, we'll put this up so that we can see a live feed as to what everybody in the chat has been voting for on this. Mm-hmm. I wanted to speak to your point. I do start the drafts on the phone. Okay. Upload the pictures. It's very important that I note that I take the pictures with the app that came pre-installed on the phone. Mm-hmm. I don't use the eBay app to take pictures, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
So I take the dedicated camera app on the phone, and then I upload it and save it as a draft. But a lot of times I'll go ahead and hit list live instantly and go back later and revise and fix stuff, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Like if I'm doing it late at night, heck, I may make a sale overnight if I just save it in my drafts. And so I just go ahead and list it live. And then the next day or the next evening, I'll just like pretty up the information and stuff like that.
That's fair. That's fair.
We got Bearded Thrift Machine weighing in. I'm a phone guy all the way. Just got the Samsung S20. Does pretty good. I agree. I've used that phone. It takes some beautiful pictures.
Yeah, my wife has got that phone. That thing is massive. I mean, it's so funny because she held my S9 Plus the other day, and she says, "Oh, look at your small phone." I was like, talking about this thing was massive back, you know, not long ago. So
I'm going to show my geekiness here. I have an Android phone. It's a OnePlus. Watch out now. Yeah. It's a family show. It's a OnePlus 8 Pro. Okay. This year, the OnePlus, they made a great camera. However, someone in the developer winds of Android took the camera off the Google Pixel and made it work with the 8 Pro. And so now I've installed the Google camera on the 8 Pro. It takes much better pictures. So color accuracy is everything. Actually, that's one of my points. That was going to be one of my counterpoints I'll go ahead and throw it out there. I think color accuracy is so important. And unfortunately, lots of cell phones have augmented AIs and try to color correct things. And they try to like remove blemishes and stuff like that. It makes pictures turn out not accurate to reality. Yeah. And that could actually damage if it's like a product, like a red sweater, right? Yeah. An Isnod Lacoste vintage red sweater. Perfect example. It's one of the first things I tried to sell when I was comparing the camera quality of the two cameras. One looked dead on perfect to reality. The original that came on the camera was blown up, like bright. Mm-hmm. It looked like a red sweater, not a burgundy sweater.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, I have to counter to my own argument with that statement.
Gotcha. Hey, we do have a comment in there. Dave's Diggs, I think that's how you would say it. Dave's Diggs says, "Hey, guys."
Oh, hey, buddy. Sorry, hey, man. Thanks.
How's it going?
Thanks for showing up, buddy.
Yep. During this whole shuffle, we do see y'all's comments. It's just one of those things where sometimes it's going a little quick. So, you know, we may not see it, but we do appreciate everyone tuning in and listening. We're glad that you've decided to spend your Thursday night with us.
Absolutely. Couple of pickers. Rob says, "I use the 1x1 square format that seems to be good for all 10 platforms. We list on 10 platforms."
That's intense. Yeah, exactly. If I had a drink in my hand, which I don't,
yeah,
which that's intentional, but yeah, I would clink your glass on that one.
And that makes sense because a lot of the stuff that whenever you list, you don't want to change your have to edit a picture for every different platform. I only do two platforms. He does 10. I could totally understand why he wouldn't want to take one picture and upload it.
That's a huge totally advantage. Huge advantage.
Bearded Thrift Machine. I agree. Even this phone makes the color look a little darker. I have to change the lighting a good bit. Yeah. So, but see, that's, I think camera lighting controls are on, they're on both types of phones that we're discussing tonight, though. Mm-hmm. If you're a photographer and you know how to use your DSLR, you know how to change your lighting, you know how to change your white balance and stuff like that. Yep. And to me, though, in a smartphone, I think it's easier to change those things because it's just a dial. You can see it change instantly as you move the dial.
If you know how to use your camera, like if you have a digital SLR, if you know how to use it, then, you know, if you got some time practicing, if you do other photography, I think, you know, it just sort of falls into whatever you're the most comfortable with.
Yep. And Dave Diggs says he's an iPhone guy. That's all right. No shame there.
That's right. We're still cool. Hey, I used to have an iPhone. iPhone makes an awesome product.
They have really good cameras.
They do.
They have really good cameras. Really good camera accuracy. And that's what's important for this conversation. You want to move on to the next question?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
All right. The third question that we want to discuss is, what is one feature you wish was different? And one feature about the smartphone that I wish was different. How about the fact that the upload isn't, it's the eBay app. I'm going to have to change that answer because it's the eBay app's fault, not the camera's fault. So I don't want to go there. What I was going to say was selecting multiple pictures, at once on the app itself isn't necessarily something you just instantly know how to do. But then let's say with the camera itself, what is one feature you wish was different? The lighting, casting shadows with the lighting you've got going on. And I think that is a smartphone thing because the autofocus feature on smartphones, it can be very addictive. Like the phone wants to think it's smart enough to know what you want to zoom in on. Right?
Yeah. And another thing too, is like I've found in using my phone, and this is just, you know, because I have used my phone to take some pictures. That's how, again, I feel like I can talk a little bit to the advantages, disadvantages, is getting pictures sometimes where you're trying to get in tight while using good lighting, and you start to cast a shadow on your item because it's hard to maneuver yourself far enough away. At least with a true zoom lens, you can be far away and zoom down to that without using digital zoom, which causes noise in the photograph as well. So, you know, again, I've run into that issue using my phone, and, you know, sometimes your lighting setup's a little different, where you're doing the listing at is a little different. excuse me. So there's a, I think there's sort of like a punch counter punch to it, just depending on how it is. And, you know, it's, you know, you may use both. Is there anybody out there who uses both?
Good question. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, some for one particular type of listing. You know, I've used mine in the store before, my phone, where we're checking out of Goodwill, and I take a picture of the item on like a chair, and I've listed it in line. You know, I did that mostly as a joke, and I sold it. But the thing is, there's not many on this side, but you know, this looks like the poll results out of Michigan, doesn't it? there's 3 a.m. ballot dumps. I was going to say though that, you know, I think there's appropriate times for each one. So is that the thing you wish was different, Adam? Like, did you?
Yeah. I wish that it wouldn't try to take over my autofocus. The autofocus wouldn't take over.
Yeah.
I mean, you can touch the screen on the thing you want to focus on, and it does pretty good once you touch it. But again, when you're using it one handed, it usually happens with me when I'm wanting to get a good zoomed in picture of the tag of an article of clothing. I have to be far enough away that I'm not blocking the light, but I have to zoom in just enough that it doesn't get distorted from the digital zoom, but then it doesn't focus very well. So I have to touch the tag on the screen for it to know what I want to focus on.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I wish was different.
Yeah. Well, as far as me, what I wish was different about the larger digital SLR camera, I wish that it was, and there's really no way to do this unless you just buy a new camera, in order to keep up with the technology, in order to keep up with the resolution and all this other stuff, you have to buy a new camera, you know, or you have to change the type of lens that you're using, or you have to, you know, add more lighting because, you know, it's like as you're, you know, the flash doesn't seem as adequate anymore to get the type of bright picture that you want. So you have to change lighting surface. And with cell phones, sometimes it can compensate for those things. Like, you know, there's different modes that allow the flash to act better. It's sort of holding the aperture open a little bit longer. The shutter open a little bit longer to capture some more light, you know, to where you don't have to, you know, adjust anything else on the camera. And you don't have to upgrade your camera to take better pictures. I mean, sure, you're upgrading your cell phone, and I get that. But typically you're doing that anyway, because your cell phone is used for multiple functions, and usually after 2 years they tend to die anyway, and you always have to upgrade. But with the camera I'm using, I've had this camera for 10 years. I'm extremely familiar with it. Takes great pictures, but I wish it took a little bit better. I wish that it took pictures faster. There's things about that. So I think, though, that the only way I can really achieve that is to go out and buy a new camera. And that can get kind of expensive when it comes down to these sort of style of cameras. So
I agree. Cell phones, though, are very expensive now, too.
I can, but in theory, if I was just going to use it for a, just using for eBay, I could buy a phone that's a generation or two older for cheaper, a lot cheaper, and use it as a dedicated picture taker with the eBay app installed right there. And then that's all I do with it. You know,
that's why, that's not the only reason, but that's how I use my old cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
This would only retail right now because it's 3 years old. It would or 2 years old. It would retail at about $150 to $200, and that's something you could do to go pick one up.
Yep.
And it takes great pictures. Like I said, Google has one of the, not supposedly, it's pretty much the best camera on a smartphone right now.
Yeah.
But you get an old Google Pixel phone for $150, and it will replace your DSLR easily. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. Next question. Have you ever been delayed in listing items because your camera failed?
Well, I told my battery story a few minutes back.
You told that earlier.
That was a big thing. And again, with the age of my camera, sometimes I wonder if it's just time to upgrade with it. But sometimes when I go to hit the button, it wants to focus and then it wants to back off the focus and then come back in and then back off a little bit. It wants to take this ideal picture, which I understand. That's why you have the camera. But it just takes a while, you know. Other things too is that, by taking pictures with your camera, now I'm dependent on not just the camera, but I have to make sure I have the cord that connects it to the computer. I have to make sure the computer is operating fine. Sometimes you have, your computer isn't exactly working the way that they told you it would. So you have some delays there. Sometimes you get corrupted files. Sometimes you get, pictures that are undesirable. Maybe it looked good on your camera screen, and then you got to go retake the photo. You know, at least with the cell phone, you can see what the picture looks like before you do the listing in a pretty true sense. Sometimes on those digital camera screens, they don't look as crisp, as sharp, because the screen itself isn't set up to really do that as much. It's really for whenever you get back to your computer, you see what kind of picture you took. You know, it's sort of a preview, but it's not the full thing. So it may not be as bright as you want it to be. It may not be as detailed or as zoomed in, or the color balance is way off, or whatever it is, and then you have to go back and rework and do that. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a big delay when it comes to it.
That is a big delay, and I'll agree with that one. I used to use the DSLR, and I had that delay too. With the smartphone, my biggest problem was something I had to overcome, because on a smartphone, most of them, you double tap the power button, mm-hmm. and it'll pull up the camera. Right. Well, when I started using the different app camera, I would double tap and it wouldn't bring up the camera. So I was taking pictures with the wrong camera just because I was used to double tapping. That is very picky, but I have to get that picky because guess what? I haven't really been delayed.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been delayed by using the smartphone camera. When I was using the DSLR, I'm going to jump on you for a little bit. When I was using the DSLR camera, I would get delayed because the lens, when I would zoom in to say it was a black sweater or a black shirt, it didn't want to focus on it. And it would like try to focus on it. And then it would go and it never focused on it. Yep. Mm-hmm. And it just like, if you get a good focus, it'll go tick, tick, like, as in like, you're ready to take a picture now. Right.
Right. Yeah.
But if it doesn't, if you don't hear that beep, it won't focus. That means it's going to be a crappy picture. And with something that was dark on a white or lighter background, it never wanted to focus on a zoom in of like the tag or the design on the shirt itself.
Yeah.
That was when I was delayed the most with the DSLR not with a smartphone camera.
True.
Well, we had a couple of people vote, and 100% smartphone camera. How you feel about that?
100% of America thinks that. How many people voted? Do we know that?
I'm still trying to figure that out. This is the first time I've used this. I'm still trying to figure that out. It might have just been one. I don't know.
You know, I could go on. I could go on the link from my computer. And we could see how far the result skews, and then you'll know exactly how many people voted.
Yeah.
But again,
we have it.
Here's the thing. I think that when it comes to it, you know, there are pros and cons to each one. There's a time and a place for each one. There is preference. You know, I mean, again, for me, I feel like I'm in eBay mode whenever and this may be an intangible, and this probably won't apply to maybe even anybody else. But for me, when I get the urge to list, I'm in eBay mode. Part of me being in eBay mode is whipping out the camera and taking pictures. And then I feel like whenever I plug it in and load the pictures to my laptop, then I can sit in front of the TV, watch the game, and I'm just clacking away, listing items. And I feel like I can do it pretty quickly versus I've used the eBay app when uploading photos, and it seems sometimes painfully slow comparatively. You know, I'm sure if we did a time study and the amount of time it took me to take pictures and the amount of time to upload all that, it would actually be slower. However, for me, I guess it feels more comfortable, and it feels more like I can do more. And I don't know. So even though it may not be the fact, I'll put that down as an intangible to using the DSLR.
Your camera doesn't have the Wi-Fi move of the pictures to the camera to the computer, does it?
For that.
That option right there would save me so much time if I had that on my camera. And having to take that memory card out and put it in the computer and make sure that I could find my USB adapter for the micro SD card that I had, and my computer actually read it right the first time because I put it in a high speed port or a low speed port, or your battery problem you said you had. I had like 4 or 5 batteries, and it seemed that they never wanted to be charged when I wanted to use it. And so I bought a power cord that would go into the plug of the wall and into the battery
of the
camera. And that now you're leashed to the wall.
Yeah. Sure.
So the cell phone just cut all of that out for me.
Mm-hmm. See, I've never taken the memory card out of the camera. I've just literally connected the camera directly to the computer, like through
the cable. Okay. Yep.
Well, that's, I mean, other, you know, different strokes for different folks, but that's,
I missed that part of your story, but
yeah, it was, you know, but the cable, I mean, I got to make sure I have the cable. I got to make sure that whoever used the camera last put it back in if they did that. So that's just sort of part of it. But, you know, again, it's preference. It depends on what you want. I will say this, and this may be way too much information, but if you're ever on the toilet, you can list items while you're not doing anything else. So there's that advantage.
You could do that with drafts too, mind you. So
I will say that's another big advantage in the smartphone corner is the fact that you can list anywhere. You know, you can
now somebody made that comment earlier. Let me get to it. Hold on. He said, boom, who carries a camera all the time? Phones all the time. And that's right. Now that was that CC Jones, that was my dad. He was speaking in the respect of the fact that you have a camera on you at all times.
Very true.
Okay.
True.
But to your point, you may, if you have the camera, you're taking the pictures with the cell phone camera, you can upload anywhere you go.
Yeah, it's very true. I'll say, like, if you're ever traveling and picking, it can come in handy using cell phone versus carrying your full setup, of course. Again, you know, using, you know, you say, you know, that you have the phone on you all the time, and that's very true, but do you have the pictures on you all the time? The ones that you're going to upload, you may or you may not, you know, that's the thing. You may or you may not, if you take pictures of your stuff every time you come home, then sure you will. But if you don't, you leave it for a couple of weeks, that stuff will get unlisted. Again, for me, I can, you know, while I'm sitting at home.
Oh, I got you. Have you actually physically taken the picture yet?
Yes.
As opposed to you took it somewhere else.
That's right. You've got your phone on you, but you're standing in the line at the grocery store and you don't have any pictures that you've taken.
I got you. That
doesn't do anything for you, you know? So in that regard, you know, again, I don't know if it's an advantage or disadvantage. You also don't have your laptop in your hand either, you know, at the grocery store in line, presumably. But you know, if you're in an area where you have a subway, you can list on the subway, while you're riding home, if you have your pictures on your phone. So that's a big advantage. I'll say, but again, for me, I feel like I can take a good couple of hours, take pictures of everything I have, and then give me another hour and a half, and I can list everything that I have. And so I don't have to go back and worry, oh, I'm standing in line, I'm always on my phone doing this, you know, because I've got to get these listings out. I feel like I'd rather lump it all in one go. And, you know, for some folks, that may be an advantage to SLR, is the fact that if they are taking all the pictures in one shot, that they can list all in one shot as well. Maybe you do one day where you're dedicating, or 2 days to taking the pictures and doing the listings. So,
Well, I enjoy both sides of it. I personally have used both. I have my preference, but I could use either.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Well, I appreciate everybody participating in that little debate. I would like to move into, Gary, if you don't mind, let's go into the pick of the week. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Have I got a pick of the week for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So the other day when I went thrifting on my lunch break, and first off, let me remind you that you said a couple of weeks ago, and it's true, absolutely true, that our shoes at our Goodwills are like minimally like $15 now.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it is difficult to find anything that you want to pay $15 for to actually buy and flip, because they're mostly only like $35, $40 worth. So it's got to be more.
Yes.
Well, I lucked out, my friend.
Oh, more.
I lucked out. Okay, let me I'm gonna stop sharing my screen here. Let me show you this.
We should have done like some real dramatic.
How about that?
Yeah.
And Nike Air Jordan 12 taxis. Okay. They're in beautiful shape. Great condition. Men's size 10.
Wow.
I paid. Guess how much I paid?
Judging by our Goodwill, I know you're going to tell me you got a deal, right? So I'm going to say you paid $10, but I would think that you would have paid at least $25 to $30 at our Goodwills for those.
I did not get a deal. I paid $25.
Okay, well, I was right about what our Goodwill charges then.
Why then is that the pick of the week? Well, my friend, let me show you what this shoe sells for on eBay. Are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
How about that? What do you think about those sell comps? Let's see if I can make that a little bit bigger. Screen only.
That's pretty strong.
$230, $299, $350 best offer, $200, $225, $215. Yeah. Those are the 8 most recent sold items for this particular shoe. Mm-hmm. I paid $25 for it. I have it listed currently for $275.
Mm-hmm.
$275.
Got watchers?
I have watchers. I have one. Okay. I'm going to stand corrected on this particular one. I do not know. I know I have watchers on one of both shoes. What? What did he just say?
Oh.
How about a second pair of Jordans? Jordan Retro 3s, white cement. I paid $30 for these. Mm-hmm. $30 for these. And I got to stop sharing my screen and restart the next. These, my friend, are selling for this much money. How about $375, $450 best offer, $270, $200. $400, $900 best offer. How about that? $623.
Did somebody die and their Jordan collection went to Goodwill?
What do you think about that? That's $30 and $25.
Mm-hmm. So for $50, you're looking at cashing out probably at a minimum about $500 to $600 at a minimum.
$500. Mm-hmm. I fell on the floor, man. I thought they were fake.
You're trying to do the poker face as you go to the cash register with your hand shaking on the item.
I told the lady at the register, I said, I need that receipt. I haven't been able to confirm whether these are fake or not, mm-hmm. but I'm going to take them home with me so I can do more research.
Mm-hmm. If they are fake, they look like a really, really good one, which again, we don't sell fake items, right?
We don't sell fake items. I would not have listed them if I had any inkling in the world that they were fake.
Yeah.
I verified them not only with other resellers, but I got three apps to tell me that they were real. Mm. Three different apps, and they all came back with the same results. The numbers are legit. The years are legit. The decorations are legit. I just lucked out. $55 for about $500 worth of shoes.
Sometimes you hit that home run. But here's the thing. You got to be in it to win it. You got to be in the store, you know?
The day on the sticker was the day I walked in the store. Yep. They had just put them out there.
You know that wouldn't last long. I mean, you know that one, especially in those sizes, you know they wouldn't last long.
One's a 10, one's a 9.5. Right. I think it was the same person.
It probably was. I mean, the odds that there's two pairs like that, they got listed that day, you know? Mm-hmm. You never know what somebody kept for themselves in the back. You know,
oh yeah,
tucked behind the table, put a price on it, but tucked it behind the table. Or oops, we didn't put this out yet. Oh, I'm waiting for me to get off, you know, and then grab them and go. I wonder if that actually happens. If anybody's ever worked for Goodwill or any other thrift store, you can remain anonymous. does that ever happen? You know, because I'd say I used to work at shoe stores in the mall, and we had very, very tight inventory controls on. Especially things like I used to work at a shoe store. So whenever Jordans were released, we got a specific number of pairs, and I couldn't have held them anyway because the crowd outside to come get them would have mobbed the store if I had tried to hold them back. So, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, I don't even think you could hold them if you could. But, you know, if anybody out there has worked for Goodwill or another thrift store like that, let us know. I'd be curious to know. You know, I won't hold it against him.
I was surprised they weren't under the glass. I got lucky. I just got lucky. I wouldn't have bought them if they wanted $50 a pair. I wouldn't have fronted the money to do the investigation to see if they were fake or real.
It's like those PGA Titleist shirts that are FootJoy Titleist shirts that I bought. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what they were when I looked at them. And, you know, I left 10 or so of them sitting on the rack because, mm-hmm. you know, I just bought, you know, I said, well, I'll buy 9 of them. You know, that seems like a pretty good number. And I left probably 10 of them, including like jackets and stuff sitting on the shelf. So, I mean, you know, I made almost a grand off of 9 shirts. And again, I just had to be in there. You know, once I found out what they were worth, I went back the next day, all gone.
They were gone.
As I went back, I said, I'm going back the next day because I looked them up, you know, once I got home. And then I said, I need to drive back out there tomorrow when they open. Mm-hmm. And I did that and they were gone.
They were already gone.
Somebody came behind me that day and bought the rest of them.
That is why I call that my pick of the week.
Good job.
So you ready to move into a hot or not segment, buddy? You got your hot or nots?
Let's do that.
All right. Hot or not. Well, this is going to be good. I'm going to go first. You got your hot or not, right? All right. So hot or not, guys, people who are listening in the chat, hot or not. This is a segment where we like to share with you some bolos, some hot items that we think you should definitely be on the lookout for. And if you see it, investigate it and pick it up because it's going to be good money for resale. The not side of this is either we've tried an item or a brand or something, and we thought it was going to be good and it ended up being nothing, or it used to be a hot and it's just completely fallen off the radar and now it's a not.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting to be Christmas season, and I'm sorry, but I've got to say it. Ceramic Christmas trees.
Oh, yeah. Your vintage famous
ceramic Christmas trees are a hot product you need to always have your eyes open out for. One brand in particular that I just happen to know, I'm not a guru on this, but I have had two of these particular molds. It's called Atlantic. Atlantic, spelled exactly like the ocean. And it's Atlantic Mold Company. And it's a, I've got a picture here. Here, I'll share a snapshot of what I'm talking about. And they are selling for good money. Here's some sold comps. The last sold listings you see here, $225 for a 22-inch iridescent ceramic Christmas tree. $55 bidding. Let's get rid of the bidding because you guess what? Buy it nows. They sell them buy it now. So good.
And let's see. Time for Christmas. They don't have time to bid them up.
Mm-mm. So here we go. We got $153 for this white Atlantic Christmas tree. $112 for another ceramic vintage Christmas tree. $225 for 22-inch white ceramic Christmas tree. They sell, buddy. $75 for a 13-inch ceramic Christmas tree. So be on the lookout for ceramic Christmas trees. Even if you find them without the little bulbs, the little plastic bulbs, even if you find them without the stands, they're still good money to be had on ceramic Christmas trees.
All right. Fair enough.
What you got, Gary? What's your hot?
I've seen you sell a couple of those, by the way. And at first, that is the ugliest thing I've ever seen. Like, what are you doing with that? And sure enough, I mean, I my mind was changed on it, so I'm always looking out for those now myself. So, as far as my hot, it's going to be a hot brand. I actually found a pair of these while I was down at the beach last week. The brand is called Fendi, F-E-N-D-I, Fendi. It is I call it a super brand, right? You have super brands out there. Louis Vuitton, Prada, Tom Ford, Fendi, Cartier, Rolex. I mean, these are super brands, very, very high-end luxury stuff, right? Found a pair of sunglasses. On the side of them, it said made in Italy, which I fully expected because that's exactly where they're made. You know, you're talking about this sort of stuff is on like, you know, high fashion runways, red carpets and stuff like that. This is the type of sunglasses that Hollywood celebs buy. Retail price for these is somewhere probably about $300+, right? Brand new, they're probably about $300+. The rarer they get, the crazier they get, the whatever they get, they obviously go up in value. Well, I actually have kind of a little story behind this too, and it's sort of going to lead into a little bit of a tip that I have for everybody as well, especially when shopping sunglasses. So I went ahead and I bought them because I bought them for $2, right? And I was like, oh, got an awesome deal. These good sunglasses and all that, right? So my wife was looking at them and she had pulled them out, you know, because she was taking a peek at them. And I said, hey, let me see those for a second because I noticed something, right? Whenever she had her finger behind the lens, it got bigger. So I was like, oh no. I put them on. They're prescription sunglasses. Here's the deal. I can still sell these without the lenses or with them. I mean, who cares? Somebody can change out the lenses for some standard Fendi lenses anyway. It's not the lens that's the most valuable part of these sunglasses. It is the actual frames of the sunglasses themselves. All right. So I can probably still clear, you know, probably a good solid $50-$60, even though they're prescription. If they weren't, I'd be a little bit higher, like Adam was showing you on the screen, right? But my top tip is to, anytime you pick up a pair of sunglasses you're going to buy, take a peek through them. They may be prescription, and that may influence whether or not you buy them, especially if they're trying to ask top dollar for them at the thrift store. If I had known that they were prescription, I still would have bought them anyway because they're Fendi. That's why. You see some of these brands out there, you buy them. You know, you make sure they're real, and you buy them. Had I verified that they were real, they have a serial code that's on the side of the model number. And again, where it says made in Italy on the side, that's also something that's extremely important. You know, if you see anything made in China or whatever, start asking yourself questions. It may not be real. It may be real. Maybe they've moved some production there. Who knows? But generally, you know, if you're paying for very high-end sunglasses, they're not made in China. They're made in Italy. They're made in other countries, you know, that are, again, France, places like the very high fashion sort of places. So just something to keep in mind.
That's a good tip. So what I'm showing here is some of the most recent sold listings for Fendi sunglasses. We've got pre-owned, obviously, because that's what you picked up. $99, $100, $85, $194, $79, right. $80, $129, $49, $100, $65, $90. That is definitely something to keep your eye open for. F-E-N-D-I.
Yes, Fendi. Yep.
Good deal.
Yep.
Fendi sunglasses. And I like, you know, I would have never thought about prescription sunglasses. I guess it just would have never clicked on me.
I was also down in Florida, so this should have clicked for me a little bit too.
Yeah. You know? That's a good tip. I like that tip a lot.
Chances are you're going to encounter a lot of stuff like that. So wherever you are, just kind of keep that in mind.
Good deal. Well, tonight's not for me. A couple of weeks ago, I said Columbia PFG was a not, and I still stand by that. I'm going to add to that, and I'm going to say Magellan fishing gear. If you look up Magellan fishing gear, there's not nearly as much listed on eBay as Columbia PFG, but I still see it all the time in Goodwill. And they're a good-looking fishing gear shirt. I own a few myself. But to resell them on eBay, I want to get, if I'm going to spend $4 on a shirt, I want to sell it for at least $20. Mm-hmm. These right now, Magellan fishing shirts, you're lucky. You're absolutely lucky if it sells for $20. And that's if you charge them shipping too, like included. Mm-hmm. They're going for about $15, $12, $11, $10. And so Magellan fishing shirts, while they still do look good and they're you know, they're stylish for a fishing shirt. Yeah, I don't think you should waste your time and effort on picking up what you see in the Goodwill store in hopes to make big money on Goodwill flipping them. Now, there's not a lot of competition, but that also says a lot to with the reason why I'm mentioning it. Even though there's not a lot out there, they're not paying a lot to get it either.
That's the thing, you know, to your point, Adam, Magellan's actually Academy's store brand, right? Academy Sports mm-hmm. and Outdoors. Any store brand you come across, I would probably leave it behind. Unless it's some very high-end product of their store brand, I would leave it behind. Again, it all goes back to that ratio of what it's selling for on eBay. But that's a good one, Adam. Yeah, Magellan, I like it. I like it too. I have several of their articles of clothing. My hunting gear, believe it, they make great hunting gear. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a lot cheaper than some of the other extreme hunting gear that you see in stores. You know, for about a third of the price, and it to me seems to work as well. I mean, I'm still killing deer, so yeah, who knows?
But it starts out a third of the price, and exactly. When you try to resell it, it's about a third of the price too.
All right,
You got a knot, buddy?
I do have a knot, and this is going to stun some people out there in TV land. My knot, and of course, I always caveat these with your mileage may vary, results may differ. Because it really, really depends on what it is. All right. But what I'm going to say is I'm going to say the North Face. I should have waited till you drank on that. You could have done a spit take. Here's the thing. All right. North Face used to be a brand that was very, very, it was a really, really strong brand, right? You know, especially, I mean, you know, even when I was going to college, man, like almost 20 years ago, North Face was like, if you had a North Face jacket, oh man, you're somebody. You belong mm-hmm. to fraternity. You were awesome. You know, you got all the girls, because they loved your North Face jacket, you know, and that was the thing, that t-shirts and jackets and outdoors gear, even though you never set foot outdoors, was a, you know, it was a big thing. It was a big thing. It was very stylish. Here's the deal. North Face makes good clothing. I like North Face clothing. You know, I have some North Face pieces that I wouldn't trade for the world when it comes to if I'm outdoors somewhere. But the thing is, though, is that if you're looking at their fleece jackets, if you're looking at hoodies, if you're looking at t-shirts, unless they're brand new, and I do mean brand new, either they've got the tags on it or you have no signs of wear on it, then I would almost leave them behind. And here's why, right? Remember, the hot or not segment isn't just about, you know, what brands sell and what doesn't sell. It's about how much money you can actually make on these things. And when your thrift store is charging you, you know, for a North Face t-shirt, $10 that's used and well used, 10 bucks, you could probably sell it for 13 or 14. Dodge it. You know, if you think you're going to make a lot more, you're wrong. If now if you get it for a couple of bucks and you can make 15, rock on all day long, do it. I mean, you know, you can stack nickels and dimes for a while and get paid, right? So you know, but things like, you know, a North Face hat may sell a little bit better, but make sure it's in good condition. And the reason is because North Face now is so saturated in the market that it's not really as exclusive anymore. You can buy it at a lot of different places. North Face has sold their license to a lot of places to sell their clothing because they don't have that big push like they used to. I was down at the beach and, you know, one of these stores that sells like, you know, beach towels and snorkels and seashells and all that were selling North Face hoodies and t-shirts. And I'm like, this is not... This is not where North Face brand used to be. They used to be, you know, in outdoor stores and, you know, a lot more protected. You know, they were kind of like what Arc'teryx is now, you know, a lot more expensive. They still make good stuff, but again, they'll sell their license off anywhere that they can put their product in a store now. So it saturates the market.
Well, you never disappoint. You always have those controversial knots, but you back them up well with your arguments, and I can appreciate that. I did see recently on a video, a gentleman picked up a North Face puffer jacket, and I learned a lot from his video. I wish I could remember what it was, and I apologize. Ready, Set, Resell. Ready, Set, Resell. Okay. I'll call you out, buddy. He bought a North Face puffer jacket, but that's one of those elite – that's one of those –
Right. If you find that,
it's a gold mine. It's you found a piece of gold amongst the weeds, you know?
Yep. Or vintage North Face. If you find vintage North Face, then yes, buy it by all means, because people buy vintage North Face. You know, they like it. They love it. They want some more of it. Yeah. It's
so your argument is your run of the mill fleece jacket, your run of the mill
shirt,
your button up shirt, your run of the mill t-shirt.
Yeah. If you'll find the pants sell pretty good. But again, it has to be at a reasonable price. Always make sure you're pricing out what you can make on that item versus what they're selling it to you for. Because here's the thing, the thrift store also knows that it can make money because it sees North Face and they're thinking the same thing you are, that, ooh, This is something special. I found something special. I got North Face here, you know. I bought a pair of North Face shorts from Goodwill one time, and I think I paid like $7 for them, but I wanted them for me, you know, because if I'm buying it for me, that's a decent price on some North Face shorts, right? If I'm reselling them, $25, but I've paid almost $8 for them.
Yeah.
It just isn't there, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why I say, you know, do your comparison, make sure you're getting a good price. You know, I'm not telling you to never buy North Face. I'm just saying, as far as a not brand, not as big as it used to be.
Good deal. Well, I think it's about time to wrap up our podcast for the night, buddy. I wanted to sign off tonight by telling everybody about our December plans. We have come up with an idea that I think is going to knock your socks off. We'll throw some teasers out there in future videos starting in December, but just to tease you a little bit, we're planning a big giveaway. We're going to give away lots of stuff, to be honest with you. And it's one of those giveaways where you're going to want to participate because it's going to be tied to some of the games that we enjoy playing on the podcast. All right. And the participants live are going to win. This is going to be a giveaway where you're going to want to be here. You're looking out for December 17th at 8:30 p.m. here at twodudespicking.com. And that's when our podcast for our Christmas podcast, but the last one we'll do before Christmas, and we'll take some time off before the end of the year. And that's when we're going to have our Two Dudes Picking Christmas giveaway. And we want everybody to be here. It's going to be so exciting. We're going to have games. We're going to have hundreds of dollars of stuff worth of giving away. Just want you to be here to enjoy it with us. How's that sound, everybody? Gary, you excited for that?
I'm pumped, man. I am pumped for it. Like, it's going to be one of those things where, you know, it's going to be a horse of a little bit of a different color, but we really, really think that everyone out there is going to enjoy it. We hope to get a lot of participation out of everybody with it.
Absolutely. So I appreciate everybody hanging out with us tonight. We're going to sign off. Everybody, y'all just stay safe out there. All right. And have fun picking.
All right. Make sure you subscribe to Two Dudes Picking. Look for us on Instagram. Look for us on Twitter and on Facebook. All of these platforms, you know, you can find information about picking, reselling, and just general having fun, I think, Adam. So, again, also hit the notification bell. That will let you know when there is a new video that has been posted to Two Dudes Picking on YouTube. And again, we thank you for your participation and hope to see a lot of y'all out there being successful reselling.
Y'all have a good night.
All right, you too.